John chapter 15, and we're going to be all over the place, but I'm going to start with verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And I ask for a blessing upon the word of God today.
Praise be to God.
I start off here with the word comforter. It's from a Greek word which means advocate, or one who helps alongside. But every ounce of my being runs to the word he in our passage. He shall testify of me. What sex is God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? I only say this because it seems to come up in the Bible study every once in a while where somebody wants to say that the Trinity is God, God the Father, God the Son, and then God the woman, or God the mother. And I think that's heresy all day. And I politely, whenever it comes up, I have to, and sometimes on the internet I won't argue with them, but when someone's physically present, they look at that as the perfect family union. And that's not it. It says in the Bible more than one time that, unfortunately, ladies, women are the weaker sex, so God cannot be the weaker anything. He's God. And I think this for a second, trying to find a group of three people, there isn't any. So we'll use you three in the back there. You three are God. And if I move one of you over here, you three are still God. You still have the same strength. So if I move you up here and you over there, you all have the same strength. And neither one of you lost strength when I moved you here or moved you there. Do I make sense? So if you catch anything that I'm saying, remember that. All three beings are equal. I think we got north and south all the way. Okay. I was biting my tongue not to say that earlier, so I think I just had to get it off my chest. All right. So the word means advocate, one who helps alongside. I even think maybe curious at times. So what Jesus is promising just before he was going to die on that cross and be resurrected and then come out of that grave and then ascended into heaven, he was going to send a comforter, someone to walk alongside of us, someone to guide us. It is impossible. 99.9%. I always got to throw that out there. It's 99.9% impossible to understand the Bible, Christian living, the structure of the church, and I don't mean the structure of this Methodist church, I'm talking the structure of the big church, big C there. It's impossible to understand that without the work of the Holy Spirit for what he does in our lives. There was a Harvard professor that said he believed that the use of drugs is a way to turn into God, to turn to God. Hogwash, absolutely nonsense. And I think some of that man said that back in the 70s. I say that's part of the problem we have now with drugs. People are reaching for something, and they're trying to hold on to that high, hold on to the, and I'll throw alcohol in there as well. People are getting drunk, trying to hold on to that high, for lack of a better word, that euphoria, to try to get closer to God. It's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit he's a person. He's not an agent. He's not just influence. He's God. We're never to refer to the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost as an it. He's not something. He's someone. Holy is in his name. So that indicates that he's holy. Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. He's not a ghost you see in a horror movie. It's nothing like that. And I think there's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And before when I said, I think what I was going to say is, I don't think we could actually explain it. I think my little analogy of three over there still doesn't give it justice. I don't think our minds could actually comprehend it 100%. I've heard people say clover, but when you cut part of it off, it's still there. So the best way that I could explain it is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are made of the same stuff. Whatever that stuff is, that's what they are. So you take this bowl of stuff and you move it around. I don't understand it, but they're the same. And I think we're not capable of understanding. Kind of like a potter can't understand how that little pot made. Hey, Potter, how'd you make this? We can't understand that. You can describe it in your head any way you want to, but watch out for heresy as well. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent, which we know means all-powerful. Micah 3:8 says, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is present everywhere at the same time. Whether shall I go from thy Spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? Says the psalmist in 139 verse 7. You can't go anywhere and get away from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is everywhere. That's the reason when we get a full sense of guilt, we're doing something we're not supposed to, we start feeling guilty. That's the Holy Spirit going, what are you doing? Quit that. We kind of get a sense we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Just me. It's okay. The Holy Spirit is convicting us of our sin. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit points to the cross. You cannot come to Jesus Christ without the Spirit of God leading you in that direction. It can't happen. Now that the Holy Spirit has not only convicts you, but he gives you a new life. The Bible says that we're all dead in our sins. We all seen that show, The Walking Dead? Well, that's us, the day we're born. We're dead. You're spiritually dead. Your soul is dead. But your body is alive. But you're dead. The real you is dead without Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. To make you alive, Jesus says, you must be born again. That phrase there in the Greek, that must be born again, means be born again from above. Born by the Spirit of God. You see, man without God is dead. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A good friend of mine used to say all the time, every time somebody asks him about Christianity, he'd say, yep, I'm a born-again Christian. I chuckle a little bit. Yeah, I'm a born-again Christian. But you can't be a Christian without being born again. So it's almost like a rhetorical phrase. I'm born again. Yeah, I get it. I'm born again. But if I'm going to call myself a Christian, that means I am born again. Our name, as I said last week, blotted out of our book and wrote in the book of the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus told Nicodemus, who was basically a professor of theology, you need to be born again. Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. That's the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost, is telling you 100%. You're reading the Bible, it's in your head. When I read the first passage in John, it said, you're going to remember me. He does the same thing to us. God, the Holy Ghost, when something goes wrong, we hear a Bible verse in our head. Or we hear a hymn. We hear a Christian song in our head. That's the Spirit of God right there, guiding us the way we need to be going, 100% of the way, leading us in the right place. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth inside you? The Holy Spirit comes to you within you, comes to live within you. And when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit will continue to live in you and will help you live the Christian life and bring you through it. He also empowers us for service. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come unto you, and ye shall bear witness unto me. That's written in Luke's account and also in Acts 1:8. This supernatural power, he says that with all humility, it's what gives us strength 100% all the time. When you lift up Jesus Christ, you present him. There's power there. There's power on the cross. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. And he produces us, within us, the fruit of the Spirit, so we can be closer to the image and likeness of his Son, Jesus, of God's Son. That's how the Holy Spirit produces the attributes of Jesus: love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. So we can be closer to the image of Christ. Without Christ, you try to be a Christian without Christ, you're still going to be around when the rapture happens. That's what's going to happen. You're going to be worse than a failure. You're just going to... A friend of mine, when I came back from basic training, said that, no offense, civilians, I'm a civilian now as well, civilians are like a single-celled organism that are unorganized and just are floating around. Because he got a purpose and little direction in his life, and he came back and realized all his friends, he don't see how they even function anymore. That's how we are without Christ. We're just out there doing our own little thing, trying to fix stuff our own way, and not letting God handle it. Romans chapter 7 is a chapter of defeat. But when you turn the page to Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 8 times. That's a chapter of victory. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit opens and shuts doors. This is a very difficult thing for Christians to understand. Yes, he opens doors. But sometimes he's got to shut a door to stop us from going in the wrong direction so we can be exactly where we're supposed to be. Even if you open a door, you're going to shut it. It was shut to begin with. I had said this earlier, that the house, which you guys know, that we closed on before we got here, got taken out by a hurricane. The whole city got hit. Houses destroyed. The very next house that we looked at was in Yume. So I don't know what happened, but we were on our way to North Carolina or South Carolina, whichever one it was. And now we got stuck here. Stuck's the wrong word. Yeah. Now we got placed here. The Holy Spirit magnifies and glorifies and exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit is not saying, hey, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit talking to you. This is this. No, he's pointing you to Jesus, to what Jesus is supposed to do. The Holy Spirit exalts Christ. He exalts the Lord Jesus Christ, and he doesn't talk of himself. Scripture says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. We're basically commanded, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And by faith, you can say that we understand that all of our sins are forgiven through Christ. But by faith, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be careful you don't sin against the Holy Spirit. Some of the worst sins of the Bible directly relate to that. You can anger the Spirit. Isaiah 63:10, they disobeyed and made angry the Spirit of God. They rebelled and were angry of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they turned to their enemies. They turned to be their enemies. God himself went against his people because they weren't listening. Never grieve the Spirit. This is awesome. Grieve. We've heard this many times. It's almost an unforgivable sin, right? Grieve means to make very angry. I would urge everyone to be careful of that. Genesis chapter 6 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So back in Noah's days, the Spirit of God left. Only 8 people survived the flood. Never lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. They thought they were getting over men, but God saw right through them. Never tempt the Spirit. How is it that we agree together to tempt the Spirit of God? It's going to be embarrassing for myself. And, of course, I'm looking forward to heaven, looking forward to seeing Jesus with my own eyes. And But to look back and see the stuff that I missed, what a life I could have had, so, some of the stuff that I did, you know, just some of my inner thoughts. It's all going to be played for us, and we're all going to see it. Just kind of like, wow, but what an idiot I am. It's horrible. When I say don't tempt the spirit, there was a professor that said, and I'm sure we've seen this on social media. He said, I'm an atheist and I'm going to prove to you today that there's no God. Because I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and if God doesn't strike me in 5 minutes, that's your proof there is no God. And he sat there, and a few minutes go by. After about two and a half, a veteran in the class got up, walked up, and knocked him out. And turned to the class and said, you know, sometimes God uses us. So that guy learned a very important lesson. There's no way I'm going to sit there and let this guy not get hit. Not, I see where he's coming from. When we try to do things on our own, it's a complete, utter failure. And I saw the sermon series today where it said that an eagle landed on the river, was eating a frozen animal walking down on this in the wintertime. And he was just sitting there, and everyone's yelling, you need to get off there, you're going off the falls. And the eagle thought to itself, I'm big. I can just flap my wings and take off. But what he didn't realize is when he sat on that river, his feet got frozen to that animal. And he went over the falls. That's how we are. We're 100% trying to do things on our own, and we don't realize we're on a frozen river going over a fall. And that's how it is to do things without God, without Christ, without God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Never resist the Holy Spirit. It says, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. I always chuckle, and it always gets brought up that those people who left Egypt, what were they thinking? They saw all that with themselves, with their own eyes. They saw all of that. And yet they still kept messing up. Messed up so bad they had to wander for 4 years before they died. But I laugh. I always laugh. Because if we were there, we probably would have done the same thing. Do you ever wonder why they threw the snake down? Moses threw the snake down, then he picked it up. Well, Pharaoh's little peons did the same thing. They did exactly the same thing. So imagine the stuff that they don't know what's going on. I don't know, sleight of hand or just evil nonsense. But there was something going on. Well, they weren't even fooled by any of those plagues. They just let it come up. Look at the miracles and stuff that we see every single day, and we do nothing about it. We all woke up today. That's a praise. That tells me when we wake up every day, God still has a purpose for us. Because when he doesn't have a purpose for us, he's done with us. It's time for us to go home. But if we wake up in the morning, he's got a purpose. There's something we're still supposed to do. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. How much more sore punishment suppose ye shall be through worthy those who have trodden down the foot of the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant? In the other service, where we were streaming live, so I'm just going to translate it for myself into hillbilly ease. In Moses' time, you only need two or three people to stone you to death. Now imagine, you denied God's Son, and you're dead. What do you think is going to happen? How much more punishment do you think you're going to get when you denied what he did for us on that cross? That's one of the reasons we have hell. I know hell was created for the angels. I get that, but you're going there too if you don't accept Christ. So think about it. How much more punishment? It only took two or three witnesses to stone someone to death. And now you denied what Christ did on the cross for us? That's punishment we need to avoid. The Bible says, because there is wrath, beware lest ye take thee away from his stroke. There's going to come a certain point where I don't want to say hearts. God, look around this room. I think we're a pretty good, secure bunch here after speaking to most of you individually. And I've been wrong before, but there's going to come a time where the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. Or you ran for him so many times, you can't hear his voice. You can't hear that little guilty conscience, Tony, don't do that. You don't hear it anymore. He's there, but we're not listening. We don't hear it. And that's going to happen. So anytime you hear the Spirit of God saying something to you, now is the time. He that hardeneth his heart, being often removed, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. We started off today, and you brought up a motorcycle accident. A 23-year-old man. That man woke up and had no thoughts that he was going to die. His mother woke up, had no idea. Figured she'd see her son again. Tomorrow is not promised. Every day we wake up, somebody dies. We walk in our house, we get a phone call, we get a text message. We see on social media now, that seems to be a thing. Letting you know that somebody passed away. So if we know people around us that aren't saved, see what we can do. I don't mean go hit them over the head, and because sometimes you'll push them even further away. But I think we can affect one person in our lives. And if we can affect one, we're serving our purpose for why he stuck us on this planet. To pull that one person closer to glory. And I heard the great Billy Graham say this, so I'm going to use it, because if he can say it, I'm sure I can. Today is election day. No, I haven't lost my mind. But it's election day. Because if you heard Christ today, and you don't take him, you voted no. If you didn't accept Christ today, and you heard it, tomorrow's not promised. It's 100% not promised. It's the same like the commandments. If you broke one, you failed. And that's everybody in here. And the only way to get a passing score is through the blood of Christ. And if we're not covered by the blood of Christ when we close our eyes permanently, eternal damnation, every single one of us who leaves without Christ. The first thing we do is we repent. We admit that we're sinners. And the Holy Spirit's going to help us with that. And the second thing is by faith we receive Christ who died on the cross for us. And then our whole lives are going to change. Is it going to get better? Nope. Going to get worse. Absolutely. Trust me. Because we're fleet-floating, I can do whatever I want, and all of a sudden now we're convicted. We realize our life is sin. We start seeing sin in our lives, and we start seeing, respectfully, sin in other people's lives. And I think of my army friends mostly. Hey, man, what's up? How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. They start talking. Hey, I'm a pastor and chaplain. They're like, whoa. Yeah, I don't think I can tell the rest of the story I was calling to tell you. But 20 years ago, I'd sat there and listened to the whole thing. Now they're like, oh, yeah. So we start noticing then. That was us. We start seeing ourselves in other people. And that's part of the problem. We see a reflection of ourselves in other people. And that's the sin nature. That's the flesh sin nature. Absolutely. I saw this thing a while ago, and until this Christian comedian pointed it out, I never noticed it. It says, God is my co-pilot, bumper sticker. And he pointed out that if God better be your pilot, not your co-pilot. And that goes back to something I've seen 15, 20 years ago, didn't even think about it, but now I see the flawed theology in God is my co-pilot. God's not my co-pilot, God is my pilot. He is pushing my life. The Holy Spirit is guiding my life. And without that, I'm nobody. 100% nobody. So today's the day to turn to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's drawing us closer to the cross. Every one of us. So don't wait another minute. This is the most important decision of your lives. Because we know we're going to have people that are going to leave. They're going to depart this earth. I used to watch a program that was called Ask the Pastor. Highly recommend it. It's on DirecTV channel 377 sometimes. I don't have DirecTV anymore, so I have the app. But all they do is have pastors on a table, and people put in live conversation, live questions to them, and they have to answer just like that on the spot. One of those pastors said one time that he keeps having a reoccurring dream. And that reoccurring dream was he's on his way into heaven, and there's a line going the other direction, and somebody points at him and yells, "You didn't tell me! How come you didn't tell me?" And, you know, I think like that because I've said many times from this pulpit and others, I've been to 15 countries. 15 countries, and I never once mentioned the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a wasted life. I don't care what anyone says. Because eventually I have to get accountability, the fact that I did all that, and I did not spread the gospel, and I had ample opportunity to do it. Now, I embrace my past because my past made me who I am today. But it's something to think about, all the people that we see. Sometimes it's not a, "Hey, come here, let me talk to you about Jesus." Sometimes it's just, "Hey, how are you?" Let's stand for a second, if you're able. Father, let us leave out of here, Father, with your Son's salt and light out of us. Father, we understand the seriousness behind what your Son did on that cross for us, Father. So let us never, ever forget that. And I say this in your Son's name.